October the 6th, 13 County Commissioners meeting. We will now have a roll call by Madam Clerk.
Chair Corey Ballance.
Present.
Vice Chair Lewis Hoggard. Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders. Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you so much. We'll now have our invocation and Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Robertson.
Stand if you care to. Our Creator, we thank you for all you have done and creating everything you have created. This afternoon, I have invited Andrew. Andrew, come on in. John, my organization, John, the board member, and bring peace, love with you like you was designed to do through Jesus. Amen. We pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Robertson. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we will be moving into our public comments, 3 minutes. And we've asked if you will remain inside of your 3 minute window. We will have Commissioner White. He likes the time. So just wanted to let you know, you hear that little chimer, that means your 3 minutes is up. And we ask that you please be mindful. At this time, do we have any public comments?
Yes, sir. Eunice Ward.
Yes, ma'am.
Stand, not stand. I'm here to ask you for question on what type of law do you have in Burton County when there, thank you, when there is, if we have animals in your yard, pit bulls that can't be secured coming in your yard at you. I called the police Friday and asked for them to come out. I haven't seen anyone yet. The dog catcher came and told me it wasn't nothing he could do. They told me that the Burton County don't have an ordinance for that. I know they had it at one time. And if these dogs running loose within the county, in my yard, I'm not in theirs, barking when I go get out of my car, I can't get out of my car to go in my house. So my question is to the committee. I was told that I need to talk to you all. I want to know why this ordinance is not there, because those are dangerous dogs. That dog head bigger than mine. I'm crippled. I couldn't get in my house. I had to get somebody else there to help me go in my house. And they told me, I called the police station. I asked for the sheriff. I asked to have her put it down for me to talk to him. I didn't ever talk to him till Friday night. I went out Friday afternoon. When I returned home, went to get out of my car, that dog is standing there at me, barking at me. And he gonna tell me, well, nothing he could do. Well, nothing the county could do. Unless, I guess he bite me or knock me down, then it's too late. That's the way I see it. So every other county around here has that law. Why Burton don't have it? And where do we go to get it?
Okay, Ms. Jones, I've made a note here, and I will get back in touch with you with some kind of answer or resolution to the issue that you have. Thank you.
Mr. Miles Davis.
First of all, I want to thank y'all for giving a public, letting the public speak, something the federal government is trying to restrict nowadays. Well, I'm glad our local government is still allowing it to happen. And I also want to make mention to Glenwood Mitchell's passing. He was a good friend of mine. I've known him for many. We were in the Young Democrats together, and I'm old now, and he passed. So that shows how long I knew him, and he was a good man. My concern is, I was reading in the paper, and there's nobody to blame for this unless it's our lobbyist. But I was reading in the paper where we got Edgecombe County turning down businesses. We got other counties in our area getting money from state legislature to build ports and harbors. And now we got our neighboring getting $51 million to be able to build a port and a and some industry. Why weren't we at the table? Why didn't our lobbyists tell us? When I was president of the ABC Association, I hired a lobbyist. And if he was doing this to me, let me know tell me what the legislature was doing. He might be looking for another job. When I was also involved with the national ABC, and also I'm involved with the retired government employees, I know that I'm supposed to be getting a bonus. I know what's going on. $51 million from the state legislature, and y'all might have knew about it, and I usually keep myself informed. But I had to find out from a newspaper that's coming. Why weren't we involved? Why aren't we having a seat at the table? I think that we all, including Miles Davis, needs to be more active in helping the people of Burke T. County. The average salary is $27,000 in this county. A lot of people don't know that. Average salary, $27,000. We need some industry here. We need the legislature to bring us money here. I mean, Chowan County got $15 million to do this harbor boat thing that's going to go to Pasquotank and Columbia and Plymouth. And I don't care about the red lights in Chowan County. I'm more concerned about the people in Burke T. County and how we can do something better. And I know I've worked with three of y'all and on many committees, and I know there's leadership up here that can help do that. I'm just wanting to bring that out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Leader Freeman.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Lydra Freeman. I'm the newly appointed jail administrator at Burke T. Martin Regional Jail. I've been with the jail for 21 years. I'm thankful to the Jail Board Commission, Chair Saunders, for appointing me and seeing that I'm able to do the work. Thank you so much. I'm here for the jail improvement and updates. Just recently, due to the fact that the Jail Board Commission has recently changed, there have been a lot of improvements. Thankful to the Jail Board Commission. We have had work done to the outside of the building when it comes to cleaning. I also want to report to the Burke T. County Commissioners that we also had a sanitation report. And when we had the sanitation inspection, we passed the sanitation inspection with minor violations. We only had 4 violations. And this has been a great, great sanitation inspection where we haven't had these many minor violations in a very long time. So I want to say thank you to the Jail Board Commission for helping us with getting new items, cleaning up the building, and things like that. The last thing that I want to report is our jail inspection. We just recently had a jail inspection, and we only had minor violations. This is the first time in many years that we only had a few violations. Thank you. Again, I want to say thank you to the Jail Board Commission. Thank you to Chair Saunders. Thank you to, I see Dr. Ray, he's back there. Thank you for everyone's support, and I will not disappoint you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Frank.
That's all the public comments, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much for your public comments. At this time, we will go over our reports and appointments. The municipal election updates by Director LaToya Peel. How you doing, Ms. Peel?
Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening.
County Manager Vaughn and all those present here this evening. I won't be before you long, just have some updates for you for two topics. Of course, the first one is the upcoming municipal election. And so the Burke T. County Board of Elections will conduct the 2025 nonpartisan municipal election for the towns of Askeville, Orlando, Corrine, Kelford, Lewiston, Woodville, Powellsville, Roxville, and Windsor. The 2025 municipal election date is Tuesday, November the 4th. 2025, and the polls are open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And the voter registration deadline is this coming Friday at 5 o'clock, October the 10th. Eligible voters for the municipal election include those who reside within the town limits. Those who reside within the county limits, including myself, cannot vote this year because we have nothing to vote for, being as though that we live in the county limits. So those that live in the county, your election will be in 2026. And as with every municipal election, it's up to the towns of the type of election they want us to conduct for them. So with that being said, the town of Windsor is the only town that allows early voting and absentee voting for their municipal town candidates. Not candidates, but their residents and everything of that nature. So if you live in any other municipality, your only way to vote this year, if you are eligible, will be on election day. So for early voting for the town of Windsor, that actually begins on October the 16th. The early voting hours are from 8:30 a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m., and it ends on November the 1st. Okay, so everybody else, you will need to vote on election day. Absentee ballots, they were available beginning October the 3rd. We have mailed out a few already. The deadline for that would be October the 21st. Again, that's only for Windsor. Everyone else would have to vote on at their precinct on election day. All right, of course, photo ID is still required for this upcoming election, but if you do not have a photo ID, you can do with a photo ID exception form and complete a provisional ballot. So any questions regarding the municipals?
No, no, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Second topic real quickly. I'm sure, you know, you all are on my email list, commissioners, and some others that may be here as well. The voter registration repair project, the statewide voter registration repair project, began in August. And that was a project that the state board sent out trying to correct those registration forms that did not, those people that did not provide their last four digits of the social security number or their driver's license number. We did start out with 305 voters. As of today, we have 231 voters that still remain on their list. The word is getting out, people are coming in, but that's still not good enough for me. I want zero. So hopefully the word will get out some more. And I do ask those that are here today, if you would go to the North Carolina State Board of Elections website, look at that list. If you see your name up there, great. Come into the office, fill out a new voter registration form. If there's somebody else that you know that's up there, please contact them as well. The State Board of Elections, they have sent out letters to about 82,000 voters because this is a statewide project. So a lot of people are returning those, but then we're getting a lot of undeliverable as well because a lot of people have moved. So I do ask if you can, please look at that list so then that way we can get our number to zero, hopefully. You know, but if without everybody's help, I do believe that we could do that. So, all right. Any additional questions? Any questions? All right.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great job. Oh,
thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you. Okay. Now we will hear from the Council on Aging updates by Director Rebecca Stapleton. How you doing, Ms. Stapleton?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good. Thank you for allowing me to come before you, and I'd like to share some good updates before I kind of get into the not so good. So first, we are excited to partner with ECU Hospital Systems to do a health hub there at the Senior Center, which will be a virtual way for folks to do a online doctor's visit that's not medically emergency room, not maybe not urgent care, but just a doctor's visit through their MyChart. So we're very excited to have that as an opportunity for our seniors. Next, our state fair trip is coming up on the 21st of this month. We have two school buses going, and we have a waiting list of about 15. So very popular, filled up very quickly. We are doing medical transportation through our block grant services at this time. And that meets an important need for the county with medical transportation. We also have some EdTap funding that will come in the next couple of months to allow us to expand that and to also do some general transportation and some shopping trips outside of the county. We held our Senior Expo, which is an annual event. We held that on Friday, September 26th. We had over 80 seniors that came out that day, and we had fun. We had some great speakers. We had some great food fellowship. So we're very happy to have that attended so well. Medicare open enrollment is starting the beginning of this month and runs through December the 7th. We continually assist people with Medicare all through the year, but during the open enrollment, we are tremendously busy. We saw almost 400 people between Alicia, myself, and Vanita last year, and we will probably see more this year, so because the options are not so great this year. The Senior Center and the Bertie County Recreation Department are preparing for our Santa for Seniors program. Last year, we did a clothing drive with hats and scarves and blankets and things. This year, we're going to do Santa, and there will be drop points in the county to deliver that, and we'll have a tree, just like an angel tree, but for seniors. And finally, all of our classes, our activities continue to be well attended. Sometimes we just don't have space for everybody, but we get them in there. And we're always offering exercise, line dancing, crafts, computer basics, and we're always looking for new ideas. So I actively try to recruit different classes, craft classes, and things like that, because we know staying active and socially connected makes such a difference in the health and happiness of our seniors, and we love to see everyone come together for that socialization. So I want to thank you all for the continued support that you give us there at the Council on Aging and throughout the county, because we do outreach to different parts of the county. Now, we want to talk about everybody's favorite topic, the government shutdown. And I want to bring to you, though, the human impact of that. I want to take a few minutes to talk about the real human impact the government shutdown has had on our older adults right here in Bertie County. When we hear the words government shutdown, it can sound like something far away, something that's happening in Washington that doesn't affect us. But the truth is, it landed right here in our small towns, in our neighborhoods, and in the homes of people that we serve every single day. For many of our seniors, home-delivered meals and congregate nutrition programs provide the only meal that they will receive that day. Again, that provides the only meal that they will receive that day. These aren't just meals, they are lifelines. They keep people nourished, healthy, and connected. They do more than just get food. They check in, we offer them a smile, we have other activities built around that. We send things to our home delivered people. They have people that come to see them, and it may be the only human contact that they have for that day. Our in-home aid services are equally important. These services help older adults stay in their own homes where they want to be. Aides help with bathing, dressing, meal preparation, and light chores, small things that make a big difference. Every hour of aid service helps someone remain independent, safe, and out of long-term care facilities, which also saves taxpayer dollars in return. But when government shuts down, our funding is delayed. The county has to wait on reimbursement for services that we've already provided. Meanwhile, we can't just stop feeding people or tell our aides not to show up. The needs don't stop just because the government does. And while we wait, the pressure grows, budgets get tighter, we stretch every dollar, every staff hour, and every volunteer resource just to keep it going. It is a heavy burden for our small county, but we do it because we know what's at stake. Behind every number is a real person, a veteran in Coleraine who depends on his daily meal, a widow in Windsor who can't for herself anymore, a couple in Kelford who rely on an aide to help them stay together at home rather than moving into a facility. These are the faces of the shutdown. They are the ones who feel it most deeply. So when funding pauses, even temporarily, the impact isn't just financial, it's emotional and physical. Missed meals mean poor nutrition, missed aid hours mean unsafe living condition, and both can lead to hospitalizations or worse. That's why I'm asking for continued support and understanding from our county leaders and our community. We need to make sure our programs stay strong, that no one in Bertie has to go hungry or lose the help they depend on because of something beyond their control. A government shutdown may be temporary, but its effects can last much longer. It's not about numbers on a spreadsheet. It's about people, and it's our people. The men and women who raised families here, who worked the farms, taught our children, built our towns, they deserve stability, care, and compassion. So as we move forward, let's keep the focus on them. Let's make sure the doors of our nutrition sites stay open, the meals keep coming, and the in-home aides keep showing up. And thank you. And I'd like to explain a little bit of how this situation came up. Annette Eubanks, our AAA director at Mideast Commission has been keeping us updated, and I in turn have been keeping County Manager Vaughn updated as well. The thing is, nobody knows how long this is going to shut down. Now, we're not in dire need at this time. We're always run a month a month backwards, because we provide August, we get paid in September. We provide September, we get paid in October. The funds were guaranteed through the end of September. So we will get that funding, and it will be on time for this month. Going forward, it's the hours and the meals that we provide after October 1st that we may have to wait on the reimbursement. It is the only things that are affected here in this county. It's different in every county, but we use that funding strictly for meals and in-home hours. None of our salaries or building cost or supplies are in that money. It is used to pay the caterer and interim health care to pay for those in-home hours. So, as again, it's uncharted territory. We don't know if it's going to last till next week or months down the road. So it would affect, it's about $14,000 per month. Again, we would not be officially behind until the end of November. So hopefully they will wrap stuff up quickly and you won't even see a difference, but it could come with delayed funding. So, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
You covered it very well.
Thank you.
What everything was being used for.
Yes, sir.
And what you need to proceed. So we thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll have an update on community service endeavors by members of the Divine Nine organizations. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Thank you, commissioners, for allowing us to invade your meeting. Good evening. We are delighted to welcome each D9 representative present today. Members of Lambda Delta Omega chapter, thank you for accepting our invitation. We thank you. We would like, when your name is called, we would like for you to give a summary of a history, a little bit of history, not a whole lot. We don't want to spend a lot of time doing this, but a little bit of history of your organization. And we would like for you to tell how your organization uplifts the communities that you live in. And I'm not going to talk a lot because I'd rather spend time having our D9 organizations tell you about themselves. And by the way, if that each D9 organization that's not here, we would like at the end, when all present have come, we have a little summary of all the others, if that's okay.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we're going to start with Alpha Phi Alpha. There's someone from Alpha Phi Alpha. Alpha Kappa Alpha. By the way, I'm Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Good evening, County Commissioners, other members of Divine Nine organizations, and members of Bertie County. I am Simone Gardner, President of Lambda Delta Omega Chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated is the first historically African-American sorority created in the United States. Founded on January 15th, 1908, on the campus of Howard University in Washington, D.C., Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority is a service-based organization with over 360,000 members located in 12 countries. Members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority can easily be spotted in their sorority colors, salmon pink and apple green. Under the direction of our international president and CEO, Danette Anthony Reed, Our sorority's public service efforts are currently focused on the following initiatives: empowering families by fighting childhood hunger and creating youth leadership institutes, building our economic wealth through savings challenges, supporting entrepreneurs, and financial education, enhancing our environment by planting trees and encouraging recycling, advocating for social justice through voter education and empowerment, and lastly, uplifting our local communities through volunteerism and focusing on issues that are unique to Martin and Bertie counties. The Lambda Delta Omega chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority is based in Williamson, North Carolina, and we serve Martin and Bertie counties. Along with participating in our international service programs, our chapter also hosts a biennial debutante program that gives scholarships to local high school students. Our next presentation will take place on Saturday, December 6th at 6 o'clock p.m. If you are available, we would love to have you join us. We look forward to servicing and continue to service Bertie County in every way we can in the near future and years to come. Thank you. Lambda Delta Omega, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next fraternity is Kappa Alpha.
So I am Otis Smallwood, definitely a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. Not a member of a local chapter here. I'm a member of the New Bern Alumni Chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi, but of course our fundamental purpose is achievement. There are a few other guys. Mr. West is right here. He's a member of the local chapter. If you want to come up here with me, Dudley, I'm good. But so the work we're doing does not directly impact Bertie County. Like I said, I'm a member of the New Bern alumni chapter there, but our fundamental purpose is achievement. So all projects is dealing with achievement. Personally, in my role, I got about 1,700 students I deal with every day that I'm trying to ensure that they achieve socially, emotionally, and academically. We also take donations too for scholarships and other things. So, you know, and that's not only for commissioners or anybody in the audience if you want to donate to Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And I'm sure Chair Balance says, you know, our fraternities were founded in the same year, 1911. So, but thank you. It's good to see all of you.
Thank you.
Oh, County Manager Vaughn. Oh, Kappas. Yeah, stand on the side. We got a few over here. Oh, yeah. Commissioner Hogger. Yeah. So, thank you.
Yes, and as a member, thank you, Dr. Smallwood, but as a member of our local chapter, the High School Alumni Chapter, which does cover Bertie County, I would like to include add that we do have several community service projects that we do annually, which includes giving away scholarships to high school students who are attending four-year universities. We have a Botillion, which is a scholarship competition for high school juniors and seniors. We participate in book bag giveaways, volunteering at a local school such as Special Olympics, and even hosting our own Easter egg hunt. The list goes on and on, but those are just a few to tell you some of the things that we do here in Hertford, Bertie counties.
It's United organization is Omega.
I have no idea that we're going to speak, but men of Omega are always ready.
Good afternoon. I'm Norman Cherry, a member of Rural Chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity here in Bertie, serving Bertie, Hertford, Northampton, and Gates County. As men of Omega, we thrive on what we call our four cardinal principles, those being manhood, scholarship, perseverance, and uplift. And we try to live our lives in such a way. First of all, we're men. We believe in education, our second principle, scholarship, uplift, perseverance. If you start something, finish it. Uplift, we work on quite diligently where we believe that when the door of opportunity opens for us, we don't just reach back and close the door. We grab someone's hand and bring them through. We're firm believers that friendship is essential to the soul, which is our motto. There are a number of things that we do here in the community on a yearly basis, but our number one goal is to provide opportunities for young men or women in our district who aim is to further their education either through the four-year college or the two-year community college. But again, manhood, scholarship, perseverance, and uplift. But the one thing that's unique about all of us, whether you're an Omega, a Kappa, an Alpha, a Sigma, a Delta, my wife is, AKA, or what have you, our ultimate goal of all members of the Divine Nine is to provide service for the community and the people in need. Thank you.
My name is Karen Dameron, and I am a member of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated was founded on January 13, 1913, by 22 college women at Howard University to promote academic excellence and provide assistance in those needs, in those areas. The founders of Delta Sigma Theta envisioned organization committed to sisterhood, scholarship, service, and addressing the social issues of the time. Right now, so many issues in our community to address. So it would take a collaboration of all of us to be nine supporters of the current system in those neighborhoods. As the sisterhood comprised primarily of Black college educated women, the sorority seriously considers the issues impacting the Black community and boldly confronts the challenges of African Americans and hence all Americans. Over the years, a wide range of programs addressing education, health, international development, and the strengthening of African American families have been followed. Basic programs of the sorority are based upon 5 points of programmatic growth: economic development, educational development, international awareness and involvement, physical and mental health, and political awareness and involvement. So I dare not let Delta Sigma Theta not be represented in this meeting tonight, and we thank you.
November the 17, 19, 11 on the campus of Howard University. Our next D9 organization is Phi Beta Phi.
Good evening, Berkeley County Commissioners and audience and the rest of Berkeley County. I thank everyone for having me here tonight. My name is Cordell Moore. I'm a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We were founded on Howard University's campus on January the 9th, 1914, by our three honorable founders, Honorable A. Langston Taylor, the Honorable Leonard F. Morris, and the Honorable Charles I. Brown. They started a fraternity based on the principles of brotherhood, scholarship, and service. Our motto is culture for service and service for humanity. It is a way I've learned since 1991 to live my life. I truly believe in that motto and I try to exemplify it every day. We have 3 national programs, Bigger and Better Business, which focuses on economic empowerment and financial literacy. We have education. We focus on academic achievement and lifetime learning. And we also have social action. We focus on civic engagement and community advocacy. And that social action, of course, is based in the African-American community, but I heard it before, it's for all Americans. Because if we have justice for ourselves, that justice can be duplicated for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beta. Sigma Gamma Rho. following iota of faith. And we would like to share with you the four that we don't have representation for. I don't remember what those things are. Starting with Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated is the first intercollegiate Greek letter fraternity established for African American men. Alpha Phi Alpha was founded on December 4, 1906 at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. The brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha traditionally wear black and gold. Alpha Phi Alpha national programs consist of Brothers Keeper, a service program dedicated to improving the quality of life of senior fraternity members, their spouses, and widows, as well as retired and disabled members. A voteless people is a hopeless people, focusing on voter registration and education. Go to high school, go to college, a program that advocates for the importance of completing a college education, and Project Alpha, a project that provides education around relations and the STI, teen pregnancy prevention for boys aged 12 through 15. There's a local chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha located in Greenville, North Carolina.
Good evening. Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated is a historically African-American sorority founded on November 12, 1922 in Indianapolis, Indiana, and had its first collegiate chapter at Butler University in Indiana. Sigma Gamma Rho has over 100,000 members, 10 countries. The colors of Sigma Gamma Rho are royal blue and gold. Sigma Gamma Rho national programs consist of Operation Big Book Bag, a program that collects and donates educational materials and equipment to at-risk school-aged children in homeless shelters, foster care, and extended care hospitals. The Women's Wellness Initiative, which provides education on health issues impacting women of color, such as heart health, domestic violence, diabetes, mental health, to name a few. SWIM 1922, a program that promotes swimming lessons and water safety amongst minority children to address the disparity of drowning deaths of Black and Brown children. Project Cradle Care, in partnership with the March of Dimes to address Black maternal health issues, and the annual Youth Symposium, a program held annually on the second Saturday of March to discuss issues negatively impacting teenagers. There is a local chapter of Sigma Gamma Rho located in Greenville, North Carolina.
Zeta Phi Beta. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated was founded on January 16, 1920 at Howard University in Washington, D.C. Since its inception, Zeta has continued its steady climb into the national spotlight with programs designed to demonstrate concern for the human condition, both nationally and internationally. The organization has been innovative because it has chronicled several firsts. It was the first national Panhellenic Council organization to centralize its operations in a national headquarters, the first to charter a chapter in Africa, first to form auxiliary groups, the first to be constitutionally bound to a fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated.
The sorority takes pride in its continued participation in transforming communities through volunteer services from members and auxiliaries. Zeta Phi Beta has chartered hundreds of chapters worldwide and has a membership of 100,000 plus. Zeta's national and local programs include the endowment of its National Education Foundation, community outreach services, and the support of multiple affiliate organizations. Zeta chapters and auxiliaries have given untold hours of volunteer service to educate the public, assist youth, provide scholarships, support organized charities, and promote social and civic change through legislation.
Iota Phi Theta is the youngest member of the Divine Nine. Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated was founded on September 19, 1963 at Morgan State College, now Morgan State University, in Baltimore, Maryland. Iota Phi Theta's fraternity's brothers proudly donned brown and gold. Iota Phi Theta has over 75,000 members nationally. Iota Phi Theta's national programs are iShield, which stands for Iota's Savings, Healings, Improving, Empowering Lives Daily, a program designed to end all forms of abuse nationally and worldwide. The Iota Phi Theta's Men Health Program, which focuses on early detection and treatment of disease in men and boys. The five-star vaccine impact program for vulnerable populations that targets providing vaccine access to older adults and people with disabilities. And the John D. Slade Virtual Private School, an outline effort to increase adult literacy and dropout prevention in communities. There is an undergraduate chapter of Iota Phi Theta located in Greenville, North Carolina, and a graduate chapter located in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Thank you very much for listening to us, and thank you everyone who participated in the program for sharing exactly what we do, or some of the things we do, not all of the things that we do, but we appreciate your listening and we appreciate your work.
Thank you so much. All right. Okay, again, we thank you to the members of the Divine Nine organizations. At this time, we will move along to our board appointments, which we have none. So we will move along to the consent agenda. First line item is to approve August 4th, 2025 open and closed session minutes.
I move we approve the regular session minutes and closed session minutes from August 4th, 2025.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to approve the minutes. Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve August 19th, 2025 emergency closed session minutes. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Michael White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item is to approve the August and September 2025 tax release journal.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Michael White. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor of approving the August, September 2025 tax release journal, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve the August and September 2025 register of deeds fees report.
So moved.
Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Michael White.
Second
by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Other items, discussion agenda, office space requests. County Manager.
Commissioner, this agenda item was on our work session for September 22nd, and we discussed two requests. One request was from the Public Defender's Office. They're currently occupying about half of the building next door, and the request is for them to obtain the other half. As mentioned before, they have a little bit more now than what they requested, and it will affect the plan that I had for reorganization in this office as well as that office, but the board said that it would discuss it again on tonight. And the other piece to add to that is the local reentry council, which we also discussed last time as well. They have requested office space also.
Okay. What is the pleasure of the board?
County Manager, you want to say your recommendation out loud one more time to us? Sure. So basically, we are, some of our staff do not have adequate office space as well as a conference space. We have one conference room upstairs that will seat approximately six people. So oftentimes we are utilizing this space as conference room space, and the court system also uses this space for traffic court. So if that doesn't happen very often, but if it does happen, we are restricted to certain types of meetings because of the lack of space. Additionally, if that plan does were to happen, again, it would affect the reorganization plan that I did have. So my recommendation as it relates to Public Defender's Office taking the entire building, I would not recommend that just because of it will greatly affect the plan that I have. However, if the board decides to do so, we'll work with them. Instead, I would recommend moving forward with the plan that I've had for a while now, and be on the lookout, and if it's possible to give them some of the additional space, or if availability comes for space for the Public Defender's Office, then by all means it can be prioritized. But at this time, I would not recommend it. I'm in support of that.
I'm in support of what the county manager is recommending. It's his reorganization plan. It's his organization as the head. So if that's what he feels, that's what I'm in favor of.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
You did say that shit. They had recommended have some of that office space as well.
Public Defender's Office?
Yes.
Initially, Public Defender's Office requested two offices and a conference room mm-hmm. area, and they've been given about four offices and a conference room area. And so now the request is for them to have the remainder of the building, which is approximately five or six offices.
And I think we said something, maybe we could do part of that. Is that correct?
That is what the board discussed, and if you all would like to do that, I'll do what I can to make it work.
You know, I'm in the process. I try to do something that's really impossible. That's to please everybody. As you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But at the same time, I'll do the best I can to make it feasible for both parties. That includes you, and that includes the Public Defender's Office. That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Chair, I had met with the Chief Ruffin, and I asked her to tour her building by the commissioners, and Roscoe, the maintenance director, and I went through the building, and she's constantly hiring people, attorneys, and, attorneys meet with the family. They need some privacy. You know, you don't want to meet with an attorney and everybody hearing exactly what's going on. But, I'll be in agreement to give them more space, if not the whole building, but some more space.
And how many offices are available now?
Vacant office spaces is at least about around five.
Around five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think we could do something like give her another office, give the reentry council in office, and you utilize the remaining three?
We can work with that.
Y'all, what do y'all think about that?
Okay, that's on him. Is his organization?
What do y'all think about that?
They don't they have more than three people? Who you want to move in the building? Don't they have more than three people? It's going to need three offices.
They do. They have
that's three or four. I thought they had more than three. So that plan failed to work. Right. This one, I'm good. Whatever you want to do, I'm good with this.
Oh, I made it clear what my recommendation is.
I'm going to stick with your recommendation.
But again, I will work with what I'm given. But yes, this could potentially affect the plan.
In town, is there any other space, any other houses, any other offices that we can utilize to assist the district attorney?
Public defender.
The public defender.
Not really that I'm aware of. I mean.
So I know we don't have a task force anymore. What about that property across from the election board? Is that available? That's not available?
Of course, I just recently spoke with the sheriff about that, and he is using that that office, and has been for a while.
Mr. Manager, I'll re-enter the council. They only be with us like 3 months. You know, they're running out of funds. So, you know, time to get there, be time to go.
Very well, that could be true if
because they're not being funded by the state. You know,
you're right.
That would recreate your four rooms.
Correct. If additional funding is not confirmed, that's correct.
Right. So then it's possible that if you give on public defenders more space than reentry can, maybe we can find,
right.
Oh, lack of a better, well, I won't say it, but we can find some space for them somewhere else in the offices around here. Is that possible? I'm just asking.
That's tough.
It's tough.
All right. Anyway, how about you take the four offices you need? You need four offices.
At least. Yes.
At least. Okay. You take the four offices you need. We'll give one to the public defender's office. And we'll find space for reentry counsel if necessary.
Because I know
that's my recommendation.
Because I know we had talked about the house in front of the building, but it's going to cost money to fix it.
All right.
It's just like you see around here, you see houses that are dilapidated and people talking about them and getting rid of them. Well, we got county property that's sitting and it's not being used and it's been sitting for 4 or 5 years. Well, I know it costs money, but is there a possibility somebody can do some research and find some money to fix the bill?
Yes, sir. That is underway right now. Although, as mentioned last time, the building that you're talking about,
right.
It was the board discussed demolishing that building so that it could be, that area could be used for overflow parking. So yes, we have the option of letting that building sit, selling them, or finding funds to either repair them or to demolish them.
I think another suggestion, Mr. Manager, is that if we could expand, you know, the public defender office, you know, we could add on, you know, a couple of rooms because, you know, Chief Ruffin, she shared with me that they are in the middle of hiring attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate, neither bad for that office to the governor to take the office and move to Northampton County or Halifax County or Hereford County because the citizens of Bertie would have to travel to see their public offenders. And most of people use the most people that use public offenders doesn't have a lot of income.
Well, we need a motion. So.
Well, how you want the motion to read?
Well, the question is, what do you all agree to? Do you agree to getting this four rooms? Do we give the extra room, give the public defenders another room? It'll still be more than they asked for. Could they originally ask for how many rooms initially from the
two offices and a conference room?
Right. And now they have four.
At least four in a conference room.
And a conference room. Mm-hmm. So they already have twice what they asked for. We give them another room. You know?
I'll make the motion that we do addition to
2 rooms, additional rooms to the public defender office.
And remained all before?
All before to the county manager's discretion.
We'll say no.
Yes, that's the motion. All right, we have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Roberts to give the public defenders another room and allow the remaining 4 rooms to be utilized to the county manager's discretion. Is there a second? I second.
I'll make a second.
All right.
I'll make a second.
All right. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay.
No, no.
But so be it. All right. So move.
And also, Mr. Manager, if I'm not stepping out of line, I'll ask if you and a public defender can maybe sit down and talk and discuss some things as well.
Yes, sir.
See what y'all can do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Next line, I propose 2026 commissioners meeting schedule and holiday schedule.
So, commissioners, this is on the agenda for your review, not necessarily for your approval tonight, but it is the holiday schedule, which is in accordance with the state's holiday schedule with the addition of Juneteenth. We do have that holiday as well. And also the 2026 meeting schedule. So if you will review that, we did work to ensure that it did not conflict with conferences that you all usually attend, which includes the NACA Legislative Conference, the NCACC Annual Conference, and then no date has been confirmed for the NOBCO Conference. However,
that was last year's.
Gotcha. However, again, if you will review this, let us know if you have any conflicts or would like to propose any changes, but it would be ideal to adopt this at the next meeting if possible.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll review that and make a decision on that next meeting, okay? Implement weather policy. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you all doing this evening?
Good.
I am coming back to you all for the implement weather policy. Just a quick recap. We proposed 3 options that were presented. The using leave, employees using leave, we provide an administrative leave and inclement weather leave for the inclement weather options. At the work session last Monday, there was a concern that employees who work in 24-hour provisions would not receive the benefit of the inclement weather leave if we were going to provide that benefit. You all asked me to reach out to the counties that I had provided to you on the list and to see what they provide for their employees who are on 24-hour provisions if they work during inclement weather, which I did. I just walked over here.
Thank you.
So you have in front of you what I received, and I'm just going to do a quick recap of the counties and what they provide to their employees with 24-hour provisions. As it relates to the inclement weather leave, Gates County, for their 24-hour provision, they only have law enforcement, and the law enforcement is their primary essential personnel, and those employees do not receive anything for inclement, if there is an inclement weather. No comp or no additional compensation, and the county is not over EMS. For other employees, maintenance and water are their secondary essential personnel. Those employees flex out time, work to clearing sidewalks, walkways, etc. if needed. Pitt County also provided their employees with inclement weather leave. for their 24-hour or 12-hour shift. They're paid as usual, and they pay their employees for 8 hours of inclement weather. Other employees, they are paid for the hours worked, and then they are also paid 8 hours of inclement weather leave. If an 8-hour employee is required to work during the closure for more than 8 hours, typically they bank that comp for hours mm-hmm. above the 8 hours unless they are in a department that has budgeted funds to cover overtime. So those are the two counties who provided the inclement weather leave. So the counties that provided paid administrative leave, Berkeley, Washington, and Wilson, for the 24-hour provision, they maintain normal pay and do not receive additional compensation. Other employees, they provide straight time pay or flex time for the time physically worked. Chowan and Northampton County, they provide their 24-hour, they do not only straight time if work for their 24-hour provision employees. Other employees, no additional comp if an employee worked when closed. Halifax and Wayne County, for their 24-hour provision employees, they maintain their normal pay and do not receive additional compensation. And other employees, they have them follow their callback policy. And I did not receive a response from Beaufort and Martin. So that's just a little recap of what I found out from each county when I reached out to them.
I'd like for the recap. What are we doing now?
We are doing the paid administrative leave. That's what we're doing. When employees, during inclement weather, when employees do not have to use their leave for inclement weather.
No cap, no days.
Yeah. Right, county manager, I don't see nothing really wrong with that, because if a person can't come to work, really that's not on them, it's on inclement weather. But, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with what we already have in place. You know, they want to work, but they can't get here because snow is on the ground. That's not their fault.
I got a lot to say. I'll be short.
We are Tier 1 county, and you know, we're trying to attract as many, not only qualified, but top-of-the-notch employees that we can in Berkeley County to help Berkeley County become better than what it is. Not saying that it's bad now, but it can always be better. With that being said, the 10 months I've been here, I know we didn't give employee raises either. Now we're talking about taking something away from them. So as far as I'm concerned, we can leave it as it is. And if you need a motion, it is a motion.
I'm second the motion.
Commissioner White.
It came up because I brought it up, because it's costing the county money every time we close and people are not at work, we're still paying them and they're not having to use leave. So that's why, and you saw last time we just met, it was $18,400 every time we closed. Estimated. So that's why this whole thing came about, because we do have to start looking at how to operate this business a little differently and how we help the taxpayers, because this is that. Well, we're not in Washington, so that's where we have to.
Commissioner Saunders.
I'm looking at two sides of the story. I'm looking at somebody that's an hourly worker having to go to Purdue. And if we couldn't get there, you know, sometimes as a manager, I still was paid. You know, you got to look at, again, like Commissioner Harkins said, we're in a Tier 1 county. And every little bit helps. But then I also look at side of the county manager. You know, he's responsible for making sure we got enough money to progress. So I was just going to whatever recommendation that county manager gives us, that's what I'm going to follow on.
Can we get your recommendation from them?
Certainly. Yes, sir. I'll write it again. So while I do understand the budgetary impact that can come with not requiring employees to submit leave, again, I've spoken with employees who have been here for over 30 years, and historically, employees have never turned in time when there's inclement weather. So basically, if the county closes due to inclement weather, they don't have to submit any leave, but they still get paid. So that being said, it is basically a benefit to them. And in an effort to strengthen morale, particularly since we employees, not all employees, received an increase this fiscal year, I could not recommend taking something away from employees. So I would recommend keeping things as it is as it relates to inclement weather.
Okay.
Ready for the motion?
Well, so we need to make a motion to, they actually do have a policy written. That's before we just say, keep it like it is. We need to make a motion for the policy that he has. And because, yes, sir. And if I may add to that, we currently have a proposed option, which is basically putting what we currently do in written form. Mm-hmm. However, I would like to add to that, I think is was a good idea to do like Northampton County does. And if you take a look at page 2 of your document at the top, it's North Carolina, Northampton has something in their policy that mentions of should weather be so extreme and multiple days force the county to close, using annual leave or comp time is at the discretion of the county manager or commissioner. So basically, if we had a catastrophic event or inclement weather that caused us to close for an extended period of time, at that point, we could say, okay, at this particular point, it is necessary for employees to submit some leave. But how it has been in the past with a day or two here or there, of course, we would let them have that. But I would like to adopt that into the policy that we have provided as an option to keep things as they are.
Thank you. Okay, so we get a motion to adopt the policy.
Do you want him to rewrite it before we adopt it? And but you want to see it in writing before you? I mean, I don't care. You can make it's up to you all. If you want to wait and see it, that's fine. All we have to do is include that in right. the current policy, and it'll be done. However, whatever your pleasure is, what we'll do.
We can trust you to do it, right?
I think you can trust me to do that.
Make a motion, bro.
So that's, the policy is pretty much going to just reiterate everything we just discussed.
Exactly.
Everything just remain like it's been.
Exactly, which will not require employees to submit any of their personal leave when the county is closed due to inclement weather. However, if it is closed for an extended period of time, then the use of that leave will be at the discretion of the manager and or board of commissioners.
All right. That being said, you all need to see it?
I'll make the motion, man. That we accept the recommendation come from the county manager, second. Along with the existing policy we have in place.
Second.
All right, we have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to move forward with the policy that county manager presently has with the additional clause to follow the Northampton County's policy. And we have a second by Commissioner Sanders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. So moved. At this time, we will have a reminder of the mayor's and commissioner's dinner, October the 9th, 2025, at the Corrain Volunteer Fire Department Training Center, 106 NC 45, which is Main Street, Corrain, North Carolina. Is there anything that needs to be said further about that? Okay. All right, number 5, 2025 Community Outreach Festival, Evening Light Church of God in Christ Jesus Incorporated. That's going to be held on October 18th at 11 a.m. At this time, we will move forward with our commissioner's report. Commissioner Robson.
Well, my commission report is already in our printout. Make sure that we attend Evening Light Church on the 18th. We last year we had a real great time. You know, Jesus was there, and we had a, and the people was excellent. They treated the commissioners just like they was very special people, which they are, and they treated everybody really. Hey, a lot of good games, a lot of good food. So I, you know, I said, hey, we'll see you there.
Vice Chair?
As y'all know, I kind of work part-time with Martin in the CCR department, which is Con Ed Division of the Community College System. We had our conference last week, and I attended. Very good conference, and as you know, Con Ed is a thriving part of the community college. I know we have curriculum as well, but, you know, our Con Ed Division, you know, because what Con Ed does, it prepares our youth and our students at the college to get a certificate, you know, within, I think, and Mr. Chair, please feel free, I'm not out of order, Mr. Chair, to get certification so they can, you know, like welding, on a blank welding, auto mechanics, HVAC, and, you know, those plumbing and the students, and they can go to work right then once they get that certification. And these young men and women, you know, these jobs are high-paying jobs. Everybody's not going to a four-year institute. But, you know, with trade and even with the new, with the CTI building going up at the high school and all, that's going to be very vital, and it's going to be a win-win effort for both community college, our Monarch Shawan and Martin community. And, you know, we went there and we heard some, a lot of good sessions talking about certain things and what it can do, what it can, how it can benefit, you know, counties, particularly small rural counties. And the one thing we do have in common, you know, northeastern North Carolina and the western part of the state in North Carolina, the demographics are so similar, you know, and the issues that we have are so similar, and you know, just a vital part. So I really enjoyed the conference. Hadn't been to one. I retired in 2020. Yeah, I retired in 2020 from since hadn't been to a community college conference in a while, but it was rewarding to go and kind of refresh some of the lingo and the things that community colleges do, and it's very vital, you know. And I just want to say that, and it was something else, but I started talking and rambling. I forgot what I was going to talk about, so please forgive me. I'm just go ahead on.
Commissioner Mike White?
It's, you might have it in your comments, and I'm going to need help. The tax bills for the citizens are running behind because there is a issue with the system, just so everybody knows. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but your tax bills, you haven't got them yet. I know we saw it on Facebook, but I had somebody reach out to me today. And that is, and the Hope House is doing their haunted haunt for us next October 24th, 25th. They would love if you joined them.
Commissioner Saunders.
We met with the Tourism Development Authority, the TDA. We have completed all of our bylaws for the TDA. We have inducted our new members for the Tourism Development Authority. Today we worked on putting our Facebook up so everybody will know what the Tourism Development Authority is. Also, we're going to put up there about the 6% tax increase for the bed and breakfast and those folks. We're going to put those forms also on board. The Mideast Housing Authority has received a $1.4 million grant to redo all of the roofs on those housing developments in the nine counties to include Windsor Oaks. I was in Kernersville last week with DEQ. Right now we are on a distress list for our water system, but it's a good thing. It's a good and a bad thing that we're up there. It's a good thing because it's going to allow us to get other resources in the county, and they're working toward helping us get other grants. As you know, Ms. Freeman was appointed as director of the jail board. In the last 10 years, we always had 12 or more demerits failing our inspection. We passed our inspection, we only had 4 demerits. We have established a library at the jail, and we have upgraded the television systems in the jail. We've also done some transformation with housing so that we've gotten inmates off the floor and into actual bunks. We've transported them. We have yet to meet with the economic development team, and I think that's coming soon.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did say I went to the conference, and I want to go. I didn't say where the conference was held at, and this is no, not trying to be funny or anything, but the conference was held in Cherokee, North Carolina, at Harrah's. And as you know what Cherokee and Harrah's about, it's a gambling casino and all, but no, I don't gamble, and I didn't win any money.
I would just like to take a moment and just recognize the Blue Jay Recreation Park for their outstanding job they did this previous weekend with the Black Americans and Native Americans as they recited the history of World War II. It was an outstanding educational moment for all of the students in the surrounding counties. It was a great event, and I just want to take a moment and commend them on their efforts and well put together program. All right. At this time, we'll have county manager's report.
Yes, I do have a couple of brief items. And I was going to mention two things, and you already did. Commissioner White mentioned the delay in the tax bills, and you mentioned Blue Jays, but I still have two more. One is employee appreciation. We have some staff who are currently working on that event. As you all know, if you'll mark your calendars, the first Thursday in December, we have employee appreciation where we close county offices at noon. And we have an employee luncheon where they are recognized for their years of service. So December 4th is that date. So if you will reserve that. And that usually coincides with the Windsor's Christmas parade. So I want you to make note of that. And then additionally, Human Resources and Risk Management Director Nicole Boone and I have been discussing an initiative that we are planning to present, which is Employee of the Quarter and Employee of the Year, simply recognizing an employee each quarter of the year, and of those four employees, selecting one of those to be Employee of the Year. So we're working on the criteria, some incentives that we can give those employees while being mindful of the budget, but additional information will be forthcoming about that.
Okay, outstanding. And I'm glad you mentioned that because there's a gentleman, I don't do much drafting for Mr. Foley. Mr. Foley, I'm drafting this one for you. The gentleman that's been with the county several years.
Over 40.
Over 40.
Bill.
All years. I just think we always, we're quick to recognize people leaving. Mm-hmm. But my God, why can't we recognize people that
stay? Absolutely.
And when you can stay over 40 some years, you have to have a passion and a love and desire for the job. And I just wanted to let Mr. Foley know, because I know you love that kind of stuff. And so you can follow up on that. But what can you say his name again real loud?
Phil, I'm drawing a blank. What's his last name?
Phil Hager.
Yes.
Kudos to you, Mr. Phil Hager, if you can hear me. Yes,
did you go to Orlando? I didn't mention Orlando on Saturday.
No.
I didn't go.
No, you're talking about the Harvest
Festival.
Oh, the Harvest Festival. The Harvest Festival. Orlando had the Harvest Festival.
Did you go to Orlando?
This past.
You did.
I went to Blue Jays. You're so thankful and grateful for that as they continue to provide that every year. At this time, we'll have our county attorney's report.
Very quickly,
Mr.
Foley, I have starting off critical sites, this is what he has on the dad, the every character, or the some say forever. So, Jonathan and I were talking about it, and we thought, we have a lot of friends, these are in twos, that's what I think. A lot of friends who use the town in London.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, we thought, gosh, I wonder how they do it, who they do it with. They use something called HubSpot, and you can go online and look at it. I put it on this afternoon.
There's only one extra.
It comes very fast flow about it. It's fantastic. They do a lot of advertising, and goes on there
site. Steve, I have no connection and never heard of him before mid-September, and it's really interesting that Ms. Mazzell also reached out to Alan, I think, Thursday, a couple of weeks after we did, just to see, but this will give you some idea. These folks don't charge much, it seems, at least for the island. They get their money from the campers coming in. They charge down like a dollar or something. If they send you monthly reports on what's going on, and of course now it's small, but I hope in my lifetime I'll get to see the field, because it is the recreation center of Northeastern North Carolina. It's the only public access area to Albemarle and Cherokee River. So the lady, and I'll give this to one who he's been dealing with, is Megan Fitzgerald. And if you feel like this is something you're interested in doing, I invite you to just look at the computer site. And there may be others. I didn't want to waste your money or your time looking, so I ask Alan. That's what they're doing, and they stay full. They make a lot of money.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Lord. At this time, we'll be moving to public comments. This time, there are none.
I've got a hand up.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kaylee Williams, and I just want to thank everyone, first of all, for coming out tonight. This is amazing. I'm from Greenville, and I'm a community and regional planning major, and seeing all of y'all come out tonight is really, it's amazing and very impressive, because I normally don't see this, so I definitely congratulate all of y'all for coming out and being active in your community. I just want to say I'm part of East Carolina University, and I'm collaborating currently with Bertie County's planning department. Tracy White is, I believe, the planning director, and she invited us to come out here tonight to talk to all the community members. We are currently conducting a project called Bertie on the Move, and this is regarding the US 17 corridor and its future plans to be an interstate. Our goal is to be able to provide future recommendations for that surrounding area. And we just wanted to gain some feedback from you guys and what y'all would like to see in that area regarding growth and development. So we also brought people flyers out tonight, but we just wanted to see if y'all would be willing to complete our surveys. Just let us know what y'all would like to see, because we're all about the community and what y'all want. So we'll be here after the meeting is over. And if y'all would like to fill out this survey that we have, that would be much appreciated. Thank you for letting me speak to y'all tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You have a resume? Okay. Well, leave it with.
Here's your van.
Yes.
Ask her to include the western part of the county, Highway 11, on that four-lane project. I'm serious. All right. From Lewiston to Oak City. Well, you can take beyond that if you want, but if you do that.
I'm seeing you after. I will not.
You won't make the highway. I'm there.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. You can get this one from Bethel.
All right. Well, at this time, we've had all my comments. There's no more public comments. So we will now obtain a motion to go into closed session.
I make a motion. We're going to closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A34 and 6.
We have a motion by Commissioner White, second by Vice Chairman Audit. All in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We're now going into closed session. All right. I need a motion that we come out of closed session. We have a motion on the floor to come out of closed session by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We're officially out of closed session. Joe, is anybody in the waiting room? At this time, nothing else being said, we need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn by Commissioner Michael White.
Second.
Second by Vice Captain Hogan. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you.